It's good to be with you again for this discipleship class. This is part four, and the subject that falls upon me for this class is the subject of prayer. And if you have your Bibles with you, we're turning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, and we're commencing our reading at verse 1. I'm going to read the number of verses here, down to verse 8 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. Let us hear God's word. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said with himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. Amen. We'll end the reading there at verse 8, knowing that the Lord will bless the public reading of his word for his own name's sake. Let us bow briefly, seeking the Lord's face, conscious that we need his help, even this hour. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence, not in any merits of our own, but in the merits of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask of thee in his name that thou wilt help us even now in this our time of need. We pray that you'll empty us of self and of sin. You'll fill us full of the Holy Ghost and with power. We pray that all that is said and done would be to thy glory, that Christ might have the preeminence in all things. Lord, help us now as we wait before thee. For it's in Christ's precious name we ask all these things, and for thy glory alone. For it's in his wonderful name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Luke 18, verse 1, part B. That men ought always to pray and not to faint. That men ought always to pray and not to faint. The topic that falls upon me, as I've already said, for this discipleship class is the subject of prayer. And I believe it is the most important subject. All other subjects are second to it. Reading the Bible, keeping the Lord's Day, hearing sermons, attending public worship, going to the Lord's table, and don't misunderstand me, all of these subjects are very weighty matters, but none of them are so important as private prayer. And so, before we proceed any further, I ask you a simple question. Do you pray? Do you pray? It is a question to every individual that we all must answer. It is a personal question between God and man. It is a serious question and of great importance because it is a matter of life and death. It is a matter of heaven and hell. I ask you this question, this solemn question, because prayer is absolutely needful to a man's salvation. No man or woman can expect to be saved who does not pray. Now, let me make it clear. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Every converted sinner is a saved sinner. Such are delivered from sin and wrath. They are brought into a state of salvation and have a right given them by grace to eternal happiness. The grace that saves them is the free, undeserved goodness and favour of God. You see, he saves them through our Lord Jesus Christ, through faith in him, and so it is not of ourselves, our faith, our conversion, and our eternal salvation are not the mere product of any natural ability or any merit of our own. It is the gift of God. But listen, that a man can have salvation without asking for it, I cannot see anywhere in Scripture. For the Bible makes it clear, for whomsoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There also is the publican in the temple, found in Luke's Gospel 18. And in verse 13 we find the publican crying out, calling upon the Lord. He senses his need of Christ. No doubt he's seen the sacrifices in the temple. And what does he say in verse 13? He says, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Again, there is the thief in the cross. He's brought to see his great need, and he looks to the one he needed and cried out in verse 42 of Luke 23, Lord, remember me. Yet there are those recorded in Scripture who never called upon God. Felix, for example. In Acts 24, we find in verse 25, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. But you know, the solemn thing is, we never find this man, Felix, recorded in Scripture, ever calling upon God. And so, it is true that nobody is saved by his prayers. But I cannot see in the Scripture, without prayer, anybody will be saved. And therefore, it's absolutely needful to a man's salvation. For to be prayerless, as J.C. Ryle put it, to be prayerless is to be without God, without Jesus Christ, without grace, without hope, without heaven, and to be on the road to hell that leadeth to destruction. And therefore, now do you see the reason why I ask this simple question, do you pray? This is why it's important. This is why it's important. Prayer is also one of the surest marks of the child of God. It is one of the surest marks of the child of God, because where there is true life, there is prayer. Where there's true life, there's prayer. Just as the first sign of a little child being brought into this world, the first sign of life is breath. When a child is brought into this world, there is the act of breathing. And so the first act of both men and women when born again is praying. Prayer is the Christian's breath. Prayer is the Christian's breath. And so we see, even in this passage that we read earlier from Luke 18, that, well, we read together concerning God's elect, the Lord's people. In verse 7 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, we find, "And shall not God avenge his own elect? Listen, which cry day and night unto him." You see, the Holy Spirit that makes them new creatures gives them the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." And as Matthew Henry states, whenever Christ gives us spiritual life, he opens the lips in prayer and praise. You see, for the true child of God, they see their need. They see their need of mercy and grace. It is part of the new nature to pray as it is a child to cry. They feel their own emptiness and weakness. And so we cry out for help, for strength. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." As we look throughout the Bible, as you study the Bible for yourselves, you will notice that all the saints of God were men and women of prayer. They were men and women of prayer, yet not praying is clear evidence. If a man has never prayed, this is clear evidence that he's not saved, that he is not yet born again, because he cannot really see himself as a sinner. He cannot love God. He cannot feel himself to be a debtor to Christ. He cannot long for a closer walk with God. He cannot crave after holiness. He does not desire heaven or to see others won to Christ, because he has not yet been born again. Listen, true prayer is the mark of a child of God. Remember when the Lord had sent Ananias, he had sent him to inquire of one called Saul. In Acts chapter 9:11, we read the following. In Acts 9:11, we read, "And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth." For behold, he prayeth. You see, this man Saul, we understand, wasn't he a great persecutor of the church? He was against the people of God. He was, as we saw one Tuesday night, he was the one responsible for Stephen's martyrdom. And yet the Lord says of this man, "For behold, he prayeth." The Lord didn't give Ananias any other evidence of the change of his heart. other than this, behold thy breath. Ananias, behold thy breath. He didn't say, behold he goes to church. He didn't say, behold he has godly relatives. He didn't say he's got godly parents. No, he didn't say any of these things. He said, behold he breath. And this was the direction that he gave Ananias. And so the one who breathed out threatenings and slaughter and persecution against the people of God now breathes out prayer. Because he's come into contact with the great I Am. He's had a change of heart. And now he's praying. He's praying unto God. As our catechism points out and asks us the question, what is prayer? What is prayer? Well, prayer is an offering up of ourselves, that is, our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will. In the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. You see, true prayer must come from the heart. Must come from the heart. I want to read this little portion from C.H. Spurgeon's Daily Devotions that I found. And if you would like to read it in your own time, it's easily available on eSword. C.H. Spurgeon's Daily Devotions. And I think it's very applicable, and it really touched my own heart as I read it and looked at it. And it was concerning this statement concerning Saul of Tarsus from Acts 9:11, behold, he prayeth. And this is what C.H. Spurgeon had to say. Prayers are instantly noticed in heaven. The moment Saul began to pray, the Lord heard him. Here is comfort. Comfort for the distressed, but praying soul. Here we find comfort for the distressed, but praying soul. Oftentimes a poor broken heart at one bends his knee, but can only utter his wailing in the language of sighs and tears. Yet that groan has made all the harps of heaven thrill with music. That tear has been caught by God and treasured in the langmatory of heaven. That just simply means a phase in heaven. Thou puttest my tears into thy bottle. Implies that they are caught as they flow. The supplicant, whose fears prevent his words, will be well understood by the Most High. He may only look up with misty eye, but prayer is the falling of a tear. Tears are the diamonds of heaven. Sighs are a part of the music of Jehovah's court, and are numbered with the sublimest strains that reach the majesty on high. Think not that your prayer, however weak or trembling, will be unregarded. Jacob's ladder is lofty, but our prayers shall lean upon the angel of the covenant and so climb its starry rounds. Our God not only hears prayer, but also loves to hear it. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. True, he regards not high looks and lofty words. He cares not for the pomp and pageantry of kings. He listens not to the swell of martial music. He regards not the triumph and pride of man. But wherever there is a heart big with sorrow, or a lip quivering with agony, or a deep groan, or a penitential sigh, the heart of Jehovah is open. He marks it down in the registry of his memory. He puts our prayers like rose leaves between the pages of his book, that is, his book of remembrance. And when the volume is opened at last, there shall be a precious fragrance springing up therefrom. Faith asks no signal from the skies to show that prayers accepted rise. Our priest is in his holy place and answers from the throne of grace. Friends, God is not impressed by our much speaking. He's not impressed by our eloquent words. He simply wants our hearts. Lord, teach us how to pray. Child of God, if that's all you pray in a prayer meeting, that's very sufficient. Lord, teach us how to pray, that we would know what it is to pray. Truly, that we would know what it is to lay hold upon God. Simply asking God to answer prayer. That men ought always to pray, and not to faint. You see, it supposes that God's people are praying people. We sin if we neglect to pray. Yet it is true that there is no duty so neglected as private prayer. Christ said men ought always to pray, that it is not an option but a duty. The word ought in this verse that we are looking at, that word ought in the Greek and the original language simply means it is necessary. It is necessary, therefore it is our duty. There are many things in the day that we ought to do. Many duties. Many things that we ought to do throughout the day, such as eat. We have to eat. Drink. Well, we have to quench our thirst. We have to drink. We need our sleep. We must go to bed, get up. These things, these duties, these are things that we have to do. It's necessary. But on top of all, prayer should be first. It should be the first in the list. It is good to pray early in the morning, before we proceed into our daily business. But isn't it true that we often run out the door and we neglect that duty? And so and of course I say it hypothetically, if prayer changes things, and I say it hypothetically, why has things not changed? If prayer changes things, why has things not changed? Is it because prayer has been neglected? Is it because prayer, we few prayer and will neglect such a duty. Many will pray what is titled the Lord's Prayer, but really, well, it's really the disciples' prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. But do we really desire heaven upon earth? Do we really desire heaven upon earth? Can we really suppose that many are praying against sin or praying against the world, when many are entirely absorbed and taken up with its pursuits? You see, praying and sinning never go together. Praying and sinning never live together in the same heart. Prayer will consume sin, or sin will choke prayer. Oh, child of God, child of God, what a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, prayer. Prayer is that act to which there is the greatest encouragement. There is greatest encouragement. You see, there is everything on God's part to make prayer easy, if man will only attempt it. Luke 14:17, for all things are now ready. For all things are now ready. Every objection is anticipated. Every difficulty is provided for. The crooked places made straight, and the rough places made smooth. And therefore there is no excuse. There is no excuse for the prayerless man, because there is a way of access. There is a way of access which a man, however far gone, may draw near to God the Father, because Jesus Christ has opened the way by the sacrifice of himself, which he made upon the cross. And so the holiness and justice of God need not frighten sinners and keep them back, but only let them cry to God in the name of the only begotten of the Father. Only let them plead the atoning precious blood of Jesus Christ, and they shall find God upon a throne of grace, willing and ready to hear. For the name of Jesus Christ is never failing. Is never failing. It is a passport to our prayers. There was no way I was getting into this country without a passport. No way I was getting into Australia without a passport. And so prayers are never heard in heaven without the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so there is great encouragement that there is a way of access, that there's one who's praying in the power of an endless life, one who is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, who is praying and interceding for and reigning over all things on behalf of his people. one who said, remember what Stephen said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing in the right hand of God. Oh, Christ's there. He's there. And therefore it is a passport to our prayers. In that name which is above all names, a man may draw near to God with boldness and ask with confidence. Is not this encouragement? Is not this encouragement for us all? There's an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the intercessor, always waiting to present the prayers of those who will employ him. That advocate in Jesus is Jesus Christ. You see, he mingles our prayers with the incense of his own almighty intercession. And so mingled they go up. They rise up as a sweet savour before the throne of God. Oh yes, poor and feeble as they are in themselves, they are mighty and powerful in the hand of our great high priest. J.C. Ryle said, I like this statement. He said, a banknote without a signature at the bottom is nothing but a worthless piece of paper. A banknote without a signature at the bottom is nothing but a worthless piece of paper. Listen, but a few strokes of a pen confer on it all its value, and therefore the prayer of a poor child of Adam is a feeble thing in itself. But once endorsed by the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, it availeth much. For the devil trembles at the wicked saint on his knees. The devil trembles at the wicked saint on his knees. Is this not encouragement? Is this not encouragement to pray on, to pray the more? You see, the Holy Spirit, the third person of God's Trinity, is ever ready to help our infirmities in prayer. He helps us in assisting us in our endeavours to speak to God. To speak to God. And therefore we need not be cast down and distressed. We need not be cast down and distressed by the fear of not knowing what to say. Romans 8:26, it says this: likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Oh, there's much encouragement throughout the Bible of the saints of old crying upon God, calling upon God, and God intervening in such a way. And they prove God in their day and generation because they proved him in the place of prayer. You read of missionaries, church history, men praying, men simply laying hold on God. John Knox, that mighty Scottish reformer. Mary, Queen of Scots, you know what she said of John Knox? She said, I fear the prayers of John Knox than the armies of men. That's what she said of John Knox. I fear the prayers of John Knox than the armies of men. David Brainerd, that man of God who went to the Indians to reach with the gospel. You know what he said? His praying. Such was his heart in prayer, laying hold on the throne of grace. Such was his fervency as he prayed in the snow, that the snow melted around him, because he poured out his heart unto God, that God would come and intervene and save the lost. Is it any wonder God answered? I fear that there aren't too many tears in our prayer meetings anymore. My prayer is to God that God would come suddenly to his temple, and that we, the people of God, would truly begin to pray. George Miller, that man of God in Bristol, by prayer, 5 orphanages were raised up in Bristol. Here again we have encouragement. Man of God, there wasn't bread in the table to feed all the children. George Miller simply lifted up his heart and asked God to provide on the table for all the little children that he was looking after. And a beggar had rose up early in the morning by compulsion, and he didn't know why, but he had to beg bread. And he came round to that orphanage and he said, I don't know why, but I got up early this morning and I had to bake this bread for you. And so he handed the bread over, and there was God providing. There was no milk one morning for the children for their breakfast. George Miller, that mighty man of God, simply lifted his heart, ask God to provide for the need. A milk cart broke down outside the orphanage. The milkman said to George, George, this milk's going to go bad. My milk cart's broke down. You may take it for the children. There we see the providence of God. man of God simply laying hold on God to supply the need. We could go on and we could go on. Missionary after missionary. Prayer after prayer. So we come back to where we started. Do you pray? Do you pray? Friend, if you've never called upon God, call upon Him even now. For whomsoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Child of God, pray. Pray on, pray the more. That portion we read earlier, the widow kept coming. She kept coming. And just you keep praying on. Just you pray on. And God will answer. And God will answer. That men ought always to pray. And not to faint. May the Lord bless all that has been of Himself. See, child of God, neglect of prayer leads to backsliding. Neglect of prayer leads to backsliding. And perhaps you feel far from the Lord. Because you've actually left off prayer. Well, there's a man in Psalm 51. In Psalm 51, and he got away from the Lord. He cried unto God. Psalm 51. He got away from the Lord. And it'll do no harm. We'll actually read this chapter. And this was a psalm of David. Yes, he was a man after God's own heart, but he got away from the Lord. He left off prayer and he confessed it before the Lord. He said, verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. My tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Friend, you simply get back to the Lord. Turn on to thy first love. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Child of God, pray, pray on, pray the more. May the Lord bless all that has been of himself for his own name's sake. Let us bow together, even now, at this moment. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for all that has been of thyself. We pray that all that has been of man will fall to the ground, for it's worthless in thy sight. Lord, we ask of thee that you'll make us that which we seem to be, that you'll rid us of self and of sin, you'll fill us full of the Holy Ghost and with power. We thank thee forever as thy word settled in heaven. We thank thee for the man at thy right hand. The prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And we thank thee for his praying and the power of an endless life. And Lord, we ask of thee that you'll conform us more and more to thine image. How Christ continually, when he was in this earth, withdrew himself continually to the place of prayer. In spite of his busy schedule, he was always praying. Lord, help us, we pray. Use us for the glory of thy precious name. Impart us with thy blessing and with thy favour, for it's in Christ's precious name we pray. For thy glory alone, for it's in his worthy name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Amen.